Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you, Lord. I don't know what God's doing, but I know He's doing. I know God's moving in a way that I've probably never even imagined, nor you. Is that right? Is that okay? God is doing some great things in the earth today. God is using His people like He's never used them before. Hallelujah. And each and every one, it's not just the pastors and the, I guess you call it the elders of the church or whatever. It's the body of Christ. God is calling the body of Christ to do things that they've always kind of thought it was the eldership or the pastor's job to do that. But no, man, you know what, God is, if Christ dwells in you, let me just say that to you. If Christ dwells in you, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. And there is nothing that you can't do. Do you know that? Are you sure about that? Do you know that? The fact of the matter is, you don't need to go call Pastor Henry to pray for you. What you have within you is already there. And God is saying, hey, get to know me. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 7. The Word of God says this. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like them. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And everybody pray this along. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I like when Jesus is talking to them about the prayer, about the Lord's Prayer. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to go in your closet and pray. Is that okay? How many of you know God likes you to be in your closet praying? Is that right? How many of you actually go into a closet? Your closet can be your pickup truck. Is that right? Your closet, you don't have a pickup truck, you don't have a closet. It could be your bathroom. I know everybody's got a bathroom. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. But you know what? And you know, I was talking to a brother the other day, and he said, you know, sometimes it seems like God talks to me more when I'm in the restroom than I'm in. Maybe it's because you're in a closet. But God wants to be speaking to us continually every day, all the time. Is that right? Amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus says, enter into your closet. And then he goes, and don't use a lot of words. Is that right? And I think I've said it earlier. I mean, sometimes we just need to be quiet and just, but sometimes we talk a lot. It says, do not use a lot of vain repetitions. I remember when I used to... Oh man, I would go to confession, and they would tell me, I need you to pray this many prayers and this many prayers, and then do this prayer. And so I'd start praying, and it got to where how many did he say again? Oh, okay. Well, I'd start all over again. I start going again. It's just praying. But Jesus, I think he kind of makes it clear. It's not how many times. It's not the repetition. It's the quality of the prayer that you're praying. Is that right? Not the quantity, but the quality of the prayer that you're praying. How many know that God, he even tells us in this, he says, your Father knows what you have need of even before you even ask him. Is that right? How many believe that? How many know that he knows what you need? And the Word of God tells us to ask. Ask. Is that right? He says, some of you don't receive because you don't ask. It's a simple thing to ask, but so for some reason, we just kind of forget to ask. Is that right? But God is, you know, but God is a Father. Hallelujah. How many of you have a kid? How many of you have children that they just went ahead and did something without asking? Is that right? If you would have just asked me, I could have told you no. Is that right? Or I could have said yeah, but now since you didn't ask me, whatever. You know, I remember one time Jonathan, we took him to the Tanker Verde Swap Meet. Everybody been there? Tanker Verde Swap Meet. We were in there, and they had these handcuffs, beautiful handcuffs, worked with a real key. They weren't toys. And so he wanted them, and, you know, Dad, yeah, buy him some handcuffs. It might be handy at the house for him. You know, I said, yeah, let's buy him some. Handcuff him to the bed. And I told him when we bought them, I said, you don't take these to school, Jonathan. Make sure you don't take these handcuffs to school. Because if you take them to school, I'm going to take them away from you. Well, I was at work one day, and Rosie called me, and I was getting off, and she called me, and she goes, guess where I'm at? I go, I don't know where you're at. She goes, I'm at the fire station. The fire station? I said, was there a fire? She goes, no. You know them handcuffs you bought your son? I go, yeah, I do remember. He goes, he handcuffed one of the boys to the seat in the bus, and he forgot the keys at home. So the bus is over here, and they are cutting the handcuffs out right now. How many of you know? I said, oh boy, here we go, man. Got home. At least God had showed me something. As a father, yeah, how many of you know, when I first got, we had kids, you know, God didn't give Rosie and I kids for 10 years, you know that? We were married 10 years before he had any kids, and I think there was a reason for that. For the first 10 years of my marriage, I was a drunk. Nice to know. Yeah, but after I got saved, it seemed like that's when the Lord said, all right, you guys can have kids. That's cool, man. But when my son was really small, he was very rambunctious, and he was jumping off his bunk bed. And I was trying to do something in the living room. Finally, I got upset, and I go, hey, man, I said, hey, stop jumping off the bed. Okay, Dad. I said, jump off the bed one more time. I'm going to spank you. He said, all right. He said, okay, Dad, I won't do it anymore. Well, I went back to it, and it didn't seem like a minute, I hear this crash, boom. I go, ugh, that's it. And I'll go back in there, and I grabbed him, and I whipped him. Pow, pow. I told you not to jump off the bed. He goes, Mom. He goes right to Mama. How do you know that? Mom. But what I did, but he was telling his mom while she was hugging him, she's giving me the eye, and he tells his mom, he goes, I didn't jump off the bed. I was climbing up the bed, and he had a little thing with a microphone, kind of like a little stereo that you would sing, and it would amplify his voice. That's what fell off the bed while he was climbing up. Then I remembered, that's right, I pulled him off the ladder. He was on the ladder when I grabbed him in my hot. So I go, oh man. So I felt really bad about it. I went and apologized to him. I said, look, son, I'm sorry. I didn't even recognize that you were on the ladder when I grabbed you and pulled you off and whipped you. So after that, I said, Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm a young father. I don't know how to handle kids. You guys know that? And I know that just beating them on them every day for every little thing is not a way to do it, man. So I said, Lord, what do I do, God? So I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord, how do I do this? I don't know how to do it. How do I? And he spoke to me, and he said, I never correct you in anger. And that's a word for you guys. You guys, he never corrects in anger. Don't get mad at you. He never gets mad at you, okay? You might do something that's incorrect, or you might, but you know, God doesn't matter. God doesn't get mad at you for that. He understands things. He knows that you know, Jesus knows that walking in this earth is not the easiest thing to do. He doesn't get mad at you. Matter of fact, he already knew it. Like what we read earlier, he knows what you need before you even ask him. So he said, I never correct you in anger. So after that, my plan was every time my kids got in trouble, I would get upset because I could feel myself upset. I would stuff them in the bathroom, close the door, and I said, I'll be back 3 weeks from now. Not really. You remember that, Rebecca? I would stuff them in there, man, because I would wait till I'd calm down. Because I realized something. The Word of God says that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Do you know that? your anger does you no good. It never will, it never does. So I said, okay. So I locked him in the camp. Well, this time I got home from work, and Jonathan and Rosie had gotten home, and I asked Rosie, where's he at? He's already in the bathroom. He knew. I mean, I'm going to the bathroom, Mom. I'll see you later. And I went outside. I didn't go in the bathroom. I went outside, and I began to talk to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell your son? Not mine. It's your boy. God, I don't know. Remember that with Egypt? How Moses said, what do you want? God, what do you want to tell your people? These aren't mine. Yeah, but I said, God, what do you want me to tell your boy? And I calmed down. And it took a while for me to calm down. And the Lord said something to me. He said, hand him the paddle. I said, what? Hand him the paddle? That ain't gonna work. So anyway, I'm calmed down. I go on in there and I go into the bathroom and I start talking to him. I said, Jonathan, I told you. Not only are those handcuffs, they're trash because we paid money for them. You know, all the parental explanation that we did, paid money for them, and now they're in the trash because you disobeyed me. And all of a sudden, what God had spoken to me felt so right. You know what I mean? I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to give you 3 swats, but let me tell you, I handed him the paddle. I said, you hit me. And I bend over and grab my knees. And he goes, no, Dad, I won't do that. I said, no, you need to do that. I'll take your punishment for you. No, Dad, I won't do it. And he started crying. I said, son, do it. Just hit me. Hit me as hard as you can, or just give me 3 swats, whatever. And he did. He tapped me 3 times, dropped the paddle, and grabbed me and started hugging me. And man, and I realized what happened. I said, Lord, if I would just listen to you in every one of these instances, that connection. You know, I never had problems with that boy after that. I never had to take him really back into that bathroom and give him any correction. Even in high school, even when he broke my truck and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. That's a key fact. Praise God. It wasn't until years later. We're in California at a good friend of mine's house, Pastor Cesar. We're at his house, and my son loved music, and you saw Jason playing the drums, and Adam was a keyboard player, and Elijah was, what did he play? Guitar?
Bass.
And they were playing music, and I was over there, and we were actually in the kitchen. There was some kind of a port in the wall, right? Is that? Did you have a service window or something there? Was that, or was it just, I don't remember. But there seemed like there, but I could hear the boys talking. And I don't know what their conversation was about, but I did notice Jonathan said something. And what he said was, you know, when I first realized what the gospel was, he goes, my dad took me in to the bathroom, and he told me to swat him, that he was going to pay for my... He goes, that's when I realized what Jesus had done for me. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it cool that God will take something like that to train your child? See, I didn't even have to do that. That was something going on within him, where I think that I've got to take a book and say, sit down, look, you got to be right. You better listen to me. Or if you don't listen to me, I'll kill you. Is that right? I thought, you know, a lot of times we think that, but if you'll just do what God will do, God will speak, he will minister, and he'll do the job. And it's cool. Isn't that right? He is a good father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's a good father. Hallelujah. There's none like him. There's none like him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God already knows. He already knows everything about you. I looked up that word hallowed. How many hallowed? You know, I was thinking, yeah. I looked it up for a while, but hallowed. What's hallowed mean? Didn't it seem like hollow or hallowed? And here's the Greek definition of hallowed is hegaiazo. Hagiaizo. I don't know. Pastor said I can probably see these, but it's H-A-G-I-A-Z-O. Hagiaizo. And it means to make holy. Looked it up in the dictionary, and the first thing it says, it's a verb. What does a verb do? What's a verb? It's an action word. It, being that it's an action word, action on God's part, not really on God's part, it's action on our part. We have to be the one that make him holy in our life. We have to be the one where it said, this is the dictionary's translation, it says, greatly reverenced or respected. And it says, honor as holy. That's something that we do. It is an action word that we do in our heart. We say, you know what, God, you are holy. I am honoring you as the holy God in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what it is. I love honor. For some reason, God has been talking to me about honor, honoring God, honoring the people of God, honoring your anointing. Is that right, Pastor John? You got to honor your anointing, Pastor Cecil. Isn't that right? You got to honor the things that God has given you, those things, those possessions that he's given you by his Spirit. He wants you to honor these things. Don't throw them to the ground. They're worth, they're valuable to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Honor him. He's a great God. Is that right? He's not. I wrote down while I was preparing for the message, I wrote down, not just another God. Amen? He is not just another God. He is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He is the triumphant King. He is, hallelujah, everything, hallelujah, to us. Amen? I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Sometimes I feel like my truck broke down here in 1 Samuel because I can't seem to get out. Everything in there, man, in my reading, I was in 1 Samuel probably 2 months ago, and everything in there just keeps bringing me back. And so, like, my truck's broke down in this thing, so pray for my truck. 1 Samuel, we're going to start chapter, chapter 4, we're going to be starting at verse 22. Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 22. So the last verse, and this last verse says this, and she said, the glory of God has departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. She's talking about, I talked a little bit about last week, how Israel, because of Eli the priest and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were absolutely dishonoring God in the house of God, how that the Israeli army went to battle, and while they were in battle against the Philistines began to win, began to defeat Israel. So when Israel went back to the camp, they said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the Ark of God. We're going to pull it up front. The Ark represented the presence of God. And in any other time, whenever the presence of God comes in, I'm going to tell you something. He will defeat the enemy. How many know that? But unless the honor that's due his name is not being given. He was being dishonored by these priests. And so when they pulled the ark into the battle, just as was prophesied to Samuel, his two sons were killed, and the ark was taken by the Philistines. Hallelujah. I love this part. And we're going to move into the next chapter. But anybody like heard of an Incredible Hulk? Anybody, Incredible Hulk? Yeah, my grandson loves that movie. We watch it once in a while about the Incredible Hulk. And you just don't want to mess with him because you just don't want to make him mad. Is that right? You don't want to get the Hulk mad. You know, hey, you got no idea what you're messing with. Is that right? And you're going to find out there. Let's start at verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, the Philistines took the Ark of God. Here they are. You don't know what you're messing with. Amen? They took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Dagon was the Philistine god. Oh, I love this. They put it in his temple. Hallelujah. And this Dagon, do you guys remember when Samson had grown his hair and he was mad? He was giving the Philistines fits. Man, he was wiping them out everywhere. But he had one problem. A cheek. A woman was his problem. He liked girls, and he had a little problem with that area. And it was funny because his long hair was a key to the anointing that he had to do what he did. And he allowed this lady to talk to him and talk to him and talk to him to the point where she cut his hair, and he became as weak as any other man. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 16:23, if you can put that up, it says, when the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. They were attributing what happened with Samson, they were attributing that to their God, Dagon. They said, our God, Dagon, took care of this guy. Our God got him, man. And they're having fun. You guys remember that Samson called on the Lord between two pillars, pulled those two pillars down, and that whole house caved in, and he killed more Philistines that day than anyone, and he passed away in the same. How many of you know that God doesn't, you don't mess around with God? And these guys were attributing that to Dagon. This is the same Dagon God that the Philistines are still worshiping, and they take the Ark of God into the temple there. I love it. Hallelujah. I want to look at Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7 real quick before we go on. Oh. This is what it says. It says, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. How many know there's no other God but one God? How many know that? There is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. How many know that's God? That's what he says. Those are his words. He forms the light. He creates darkness. He does good. And there's even evil that he allows. Is that right? The Lord, he does all. That's him. He is God. He is God. Amen? And he's our Father. Hallelujah. Now we'll go back to Samuel. We're going to continue to read. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon had fallen upon his face to the earth before the Lord, before the Ark of God. Before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off from the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. I kind of get a kick out of this because how many of you know, if your God falls down and he can't get up, you remember that? That commercial, I'm falling, I can't get up. If your God falls down and he can't get up, and he's got to wait for you to get up in the morning so that you can go out in there and pick him up, don't you think it's time to rethink who your God is? Come on, man. I mean, it was talking to them. See, that thing was in the presence of the living God. Is that right? He's a living God. He is a God that can't be compared to anything. He tells us, don't compare me with nothing. Hallelujah. Is that right? How come you can't compare him with anything? Do you know that? Do you know why? There's only one God. There's only one thing. You can't compare it with anything because there's only one thing. Is that right? There's only one God, and you can't compare me. And he tells us that. Don't you dare compare me with anything. Don't you make an image like a fish or a tree or a fly. Don't you do it, because there's none like me. Can I tell you, folks, can I tell you something? We've got no idea the God that we serve. We've got no idea how big and how great and how holy and how just and how loving. We got no idea about the God we serve.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But can I say something? He's trying to get you to know him. He's trying to get you to know him. If you'll go after him, he'll show you. He'll talk to you. He'll bring things to you. That's cool. Hallelujah. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod until this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods and Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the Lord God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." He's afflicting our God. Man, we can't have that. We got to get him out of here. So then they sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto him and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of God of Israel be carried about to Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about there. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emrods in their secret parts. Today we call them hemorrhoids. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. How many know that? They said, "Get it out of here." Is that right? Get that thing out of here. And he said, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out and said, "Hey, they have brought the ark of God of Israel to us to slay us." How many know things get around? People start hearing things. You know what? And now they're saying, "Get it over there. Take it over. Get it out of here. Take it to them." And now their own people say, "Get that thing out of here. We don't want it." This ark represented the presence of God. And for somebody that doesn't understand it and doing the things that they might be doing because they don't understand that God has said, I have said that you are not to do those kind of things, this presence became very destructive to them. It began to come after them. Most of the time when God comes after you, it's because he's saying, "Come on, come and talk to me." Sometimes God will come. How many know that God will come after us sometimes? Sometimes things might happen. Sometimes there's a little thing start, you know, it can start with just a flat tire, and then your emotions get a little bit more, and then some guy says, "Yeah, hey, get the car off the road," and he's yelling at you, "Get your car off the road," and so you get a little bit more angry, and a lot of times God is saying, "Calm down," he says, "Come to me, talk to me, let's talk." Can I tell you that God is trying to build you and strengthen you? And that he wants to instruct you in the things that he has for you. But sometimes, folks, we have things that are deep within us that don't come out, that don't show up unless something adverse is happening to us. When things are going great, when things are going good, we're good. We put on a real nice show. Don't I look good? Don't I look good? But then when things begin to, all of a sudden, that from what's in you begins to pop up. Can I tell you that God is doing that so that you can recognize that he's after that? He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to purify you. He's trying to bring those things to a head so that you might say, "God, I've done this again and I'm so tired of doing it. God, will you speak to me about this?" And you know what? He will. He does it for a reason. He allows those things to happen to you for a reason. Because his intent, just like the Apostle Paul said when he prayed, was praying for the Galatians, he said, "My prayer is that Christ be formed in you." And it really doesn't really happen unless all those things are purified and pulled out of you. And God said, "Hey, man, my Spirit is here on the earth to do that for you, to help you in it." Hallelujah. You're the people of God. Hallelujah. You can rejoice in your tribulations. Is that right? You can. When something happens, you go, "Yeah, I'm going to learn something out of this. What's that? Oh, my wife just yelled at me. Hallelujah. I'm going to get something." How, Rosie? How, Rosie? Rosie says, "I can't change you, but I know somebody that can." Hallelujah. Come on. How many of you know that you need change? How many of you know that? How many of you are convinced that, "Hey, you know what? I need some change in my life." Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is on the earth to do that. That's his job. Not my job. Not Rosie's job to change me. Is that right? That's it, man. Hallelujah. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Verse 10, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not away empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, and you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Isn't this crazy? Here is God doing a work in the Philistines' life. Is that right? Israelites aren't even involved in this, but it's their box. It's their ark. It's their representation of, it's what they know about God. And it's, and Israel at this time is mourning because this ark is in the Philistines' land. And they're having problems with that. And here God is doing a work with the Philistines, showing his hand mighty against them. Isn't that right? Can I tell you, the Word of God tells us that those that come against you, those that treat you bad, the Word of God tells us to pray for them. Is that right? Why? Because God finds it a righteous thing to repay them for the things that they're doing to a man or woman of God that's got an anointing that's on their life. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, if he dwells in you, you have an anointing in you. His name is Christ. His name is the Holy Spirit in you. So when people are treating you adversely, when it's going hard on you, pray for that person. Because God does find it a righteous thing to repay. These guys. Wherefore you shall make images of your emerods, the images of your mice that mar the land, and you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Who? These are Philistines. You're going to give God glory to the God of Israel. Folks, can I tell you, I can't wait to see the day when every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Can't wait for that. It's going to happen. Amen? It will happen. Believe it or not, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go and they departed, reminding them about Egypt? Now therefore make a new cart, take two milk kinds on which there has come no yoke, and tie the kind to the cart, and bring the calves home from them, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart. Put the jewels of gold which you return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goes up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. And then it says, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. Do you think this was just a chance that happened to him? You think it was just their bad luck that this was happening? It wasn't their bad luck. It was the God of Israel telling them, you do not know how to handle me. Praise God. And the men did so, took the milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer upon with the mice of gold and images of their emerods. And the king took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the borders of Beth Shemesh. And they of Bethshemes were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the ark came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there. And there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine, a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on a great stone. And the men of Jeshimash offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emerods which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod 1, Gaza 1, Ascalon 1, Gath 1, and Ekron 1. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even of the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remains unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. Verse 19 says, and he smote the men of Bethshemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. And he even smote of the people 50,000, 70,000 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten so many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Bethshemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And who shall go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought the ark of the Lord. Come down. And I like these last few words. Fetch it. Come down and fetch it up to you. Can I tell you, there was a way to handle the presence of God. And even when it came back to the people of God, they should have known that they are not to touch that box. Is that right? They should have known they are not to look into that box. That ark was only, a high priest once a year was able to go in and pour blood inside that ark. Once a year. Folks, can I tell you that God is holy? He's a big God. And he tells us that they that honor me, I will honor. He will honor us when we honor him. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 46, 8 through 13. Glory. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. And take a look at that. I am God, there's none else. There is no other God but him. I am God, there is none like me. And then God says this, I declare the end from the beginning. From ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Can I tell you that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God? Do you know that? Jesus taught us that. He says, it's my good pleasure to give them the kingdom. He's God, and he's going to do what he has planned to do. Is that right? That's what the Word of God says here. It says, verse 11 says, calling a ravenous bird from the east and a man that executes my counsel from a far country. President Trump? No, I'm just kidding. I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I purposed it and I will do it. And then he says, hearken to me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Listen to me, he says. Just listen to me. I bring near my righteousness, and it shall not be afar off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. God making again promises. making a promise, I'm going to bring salvation to you. Hallelujah. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3 says, this is what God says. I am the Lord thy God. This is our power verse. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many know that God knows everything that you put first before him? Is that right? What do you place before him? Anything that you might place before him, could it become a god in front of you? Could it be something that God could be jealous about? I just want you to know this, that God says, me first, me first, me first, me first. Brother Abe was talking about, Saturday, he was talking about the sacrifice, about the living sacrifice, that we are to be called living sacrifices. Is that right? What's wrong with a living? The bad thing about a living sacrifice is if you don't hold it down, it's probably going to crawl off of there. Is that right? It wants to get away. Huh. And folks, how do you know? There needs to be a determination in our heart to serve the God of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord. There needs to be a determination. Hallelujah. Because he has brought his salvation there. And it says this. Go to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all them that believe. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The righteousness that God was talking about in Isaiah, he's talking about his son. I'm sending my son. Last scripture, if you're taking scriptures down, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And this is what he says. He says this, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Is salvation important to us? How many know you're saved? Can I get everybody to stand up just for a second? I'm gonna have you do some exercises this morning. Hallelujah. The Word of God says that if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that the Lord has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that right? You will be saved. God loves people. How many know that? Hallelujah. He really does. And sometimes what we read this morning makes it feel like God maybe is not yet, but he does. He loves people. But can I tell you, folks, sometimes we just don't realize some of the things we might be doing that God is saying, I'm gonna speak to you about that. I want to speak to you about that. And folks, I don't know anybody that's doing anything wrong. I'm not looking at anybody, but I do know what God has placed in my heart this morning. God is desiring to purify the body of Christ like it's never been purified before. There are things that we're doing, each and every one of us could be all, there are things that we are doing that God is saying, I'm coming after those things now. The time is now. The Bible says it's time to awake to the things of God. He's trying to wake us up, trying to build us up and strengthen us. But sometimes we continue to do those things that are contrary to what he's wanting for our lives. And God is saying, listen to me. That's what he said in the scripture. Listen to me. Because he paid a great price for you. Is that cool? He paid a great price for you, and he loves you. And if you will just step to him and say, Lord, whatever's in my heart, take it away. I confess it before you. There are people that live their lives in the midst of trouble and pain and things. And sometimes all it takes is just a moment with God saying, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. So I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you this morning. Even those things that you don't know that might be in your heart, ask him to begin to show them to you. Ask him to begin to talk to you about them so that he can cleanse you, so he can wash you. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, God. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, show us those things, Lord. Father, let your fire burn in our hearts, Lord. Lord, let your fire burn in our hearts, Lord, so that we might know you, Lord, so that we might walk with you, Lord, in a new and complete way, Lord. Father, we yield ourselves to you, Father. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Father, we praise you, God, this morning. It's Father's Day. And Lord, your word says that the sacrifices of God are a humble and contrite heart, Lord. A heart that's broken, a heart that's not haughty, not proud, Lord, not seeking it to be over anything, God, but just wanting to love you, Father God. So Lord, we just come before you that way this morning, Father. And we say, Happy Father's Day, Father. And Lord, let it be your pleasure to speak to us in the way that you want to speak to us, to bring us to the where you want to take us, Lord. We ask you for that this morning, Lord. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I was going to tell you, could be today, could be 2 minutes from now, or it can be even 3 days, a week from now. But be listening for the Lord, because he will speak to you. He will talk to you. Hallelujah. He wants to walk with you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to send you out so you can have lunch and dinner and treat all your dads good. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for Father's Day. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would bless each and every one of your children, Lord. Lord, even as they're at the restaurants or wherever they're going today, Lord, that you would use them for your kingdom. Lord, you would place something in their life that they might speak to someone at the restaurant, somewhere in the parking lot, the policeman that pulls them over because they're running too fast. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Except for